Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is daddy soda time, and hard to believe we now have 4 weeks in the books. We are headed towards week five. He's the star of the show. There is no question. Fran Duffy, the video scouting guru for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm just a former offensive lineman that loves college football and enjoys breaking down the tape of some of these guys when I can. Absolutely hearing Fran's evals. Now, it should be noted, Fran, every week before we dive into the key matchups to watch over the weekend and guys to watch in those games, we do like to update on some of the more noteworthy things that happened in the Saturday that was in college football. And this is from the TV copy, right, Fran? I mean, just so people know, we're going off for these guys, you know, what we saw in the TV copy when it was the week before, because we didn't get really a chance, you especially, to study them on the coaching tape. I just want to make that point clear to people that it's there's a difference.
No, absolutely. And I try and get to as many guys as I can, going back and watching from previous weeks. But no, everything that we talk about in the beginning of the podcast is all based off what you and I had the ability to see this weekend while watching the games and then just looking at some box scores and everything. Certainly not any kind of final opinions that will kind of determine how we feel about these prospects as we get closer to the draft.
So let's start then, Fran, with the quarterbacks. We do it every week. And I guess my first question would be, you know, at what point do we start to maybe get a little bit worried about Sam Darnold? And what were your thoughts on how he played over the weekend?
You know, I don't know that we necessarily need to get worried. And it's like we just said, like you just mentioned, everything we're going off of is based off the TV copy. I've had a chance to go back and rewatch a couple of Darnold's games from this season. And he has made some really impressive plays. You are worried a little bit in terms of some of the mechanical issues that you see. But overall, I mean, that stuff can be corrected, and some of that stuff can be overblown a little bit anyway. So, you know, to me, I watch Sam Darnold. I still see one of the best players in the country. I still see a quarterback that's going to be in the discussion there in the top five and potentially for the number one pick, depending on who holds that selection. You watch Darnold this week against Cal. Yeah, he threw a pick against Cal, but overall, 26 of 38, over 200 yards, a pair of scores. You see that touch. You see that pocket mobility. I'd like to see a little bit more consistent accuracy from Darnold as he continues to make some of those drive throws. That has been an issue for him at times, and I think that really kind of stems from some of the mechanical issues he has had in his lower half. But overall, I'm not overly concerned about Sam Darnold. Just like I'm holding off being completely worried and sounding off too many alarms on Josh Allen as well. And I haven't had a chance to really study Allen yet this year in terms of the tape, but no, I know what I saw last year. I know the kind of prospect he can be in terms of his physical skill set and all the traits that he has. I know the numbers weren't good. They weren't good again this week. 9 of 19 in an overtime win over Hawaii. He didn't throw his first touchdown until the first play of overtime. So not exactly a great outing again for Josh Allen, but like we talked about and like we've talked about in the past, in these last couple weeks, a lot of turnover on that Wyoming offense coming into this season. So they're trying to fit in a lot of new pieces, but at some point that's going to stop being a reason for these numbers, because, you know, we're now we're going into week six next week. So it's going to be basically what this team is going forward for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess part of me looks at it and is like, I don't really care about who the other guys are. As long as there's 10 other warm bodies out there with him, I feel like the numbers and the production should be a little bit better than this, right? I mean, at some point, it's got to be pretty concerning.
Yeah, it's tough for me to say without having gone through it and watched the tape on it. And so it's tough to kind of make that call. Obviously, the stat lines aren't pretty, but no, I agree. You'd like to see those numbers be better.
What about Josh Rosen this week?
Yeah, I mean, to me, having watched a little bit of that game, I would say that he didn't look great, but it's another stat line from what we've seen from him. You know, 40 of 60, 60 pass attempts, 480 yards, three touchdowns, but two of those touchdowns came in late. I watched more of the first half than I did the second half of that game. And really, I mean, to me, that was kind of some garbage time touchdowns there for Josh Rosen. I thought that he was a little hit or miss, basically what we've seen from him in the past. I watched a lot more of that Memphis game 2 weeks ago, and you saw the good, you saw the bad with Josh Rosen. And I think that's kind of the player that he's turned out to be so far this year. So that has been an issue for him. Last year when he was healthy, I thought that he looked clean. I thought he looked crisp. And there are times where he looks like that this year. It's just been a consistency trying to cut out some of those bad decisions on his part.
Well, I feel like I've been talking about this guy for 3 years. And it was funny, Fran, because we got a couple of running backs we need to talk about. And I was over in London over the weekend, so I didn't even get a chance to watch the Penn State-Iowa game yet. I've seen the highlights. I will watch it this week when I get a chance. But it was just funny for me to wake up in London, you know, really an hour or two after the game ended in Iowa City between Penn State and Iowa. And finally, it was almost like the country finally realized that Saquon Barkley's good. It's funny because, you know, I'm at the Akron game. People are saying, oh, it's Akron. I see him do a freakish thing against Georgia State. I'm like, this guy is making Division I players look really, really bad. And everybody's like, oh, it's Georgia State. It's Georgia State. It was like, it was almost fun for me, Fran, to wake up Sunday morning in London and see all those tweets about Barkley. He was magnificent Saturday night against Iowa.
Yeah, it's funny too. I think back to the summer, to this offseason when we did our running back preview, or the Big Ten preview, I should say, and I mentioned that I liked Saquon Barkley a little bit more than Darius Geis, and I caught a little bit of flack for that on Twitter. A lot of people, obviously, big Darius Geis fans, and for good reason. Darius Geis is an excellent talent. But Saquon Barkley, man, I mean, he's jaw-droppingly good. And one of the traits that I've always loved about him is his ability to execute athletic moves without losing speed. You know, you see him, whether he's taking on contact, whether he has to make a jump cut, whether he's got to shake somebody at top speed, he doesn't lose momentum. He doesn't lose any of that acceleration, and he's able to just keep going. The guy is just nonstop. And his ability to impact the game in a multitude of ways really showed up in this game again. You look at some of those numbers against Iowa. I mean, average just about 8 yards a catch, 12 catches for 94 yards, 28 carries, 211 yards, 7.5 yards per carry. Then Penn State is threatening to potentially lose this game. They're getting challenged late in the game. And now he's being counted on in pass pro as Trace McSorley drops back to throw, and you see him hold up in pass protection. So Saquon Barkley surely showing off how well-rounded of a player he is. To me, he's a top-five player in the draft, no question, and I think you could make the argument that he's the number one player in the country. We'll just see how high he gets drafted will go depend on who's being taken that high. We all loved Christian McCaffrey coming out last year, and for good reason, Christian McCaffrey's a great player. But if he went number eight, Saquon Barkley's going to go top five. I mean, to me, like I don't think there's a question about it.
Well, speaking of McCaffrey, what about this new running back at Stanford, Bryce Love?
Yeah, I actually got a chance to study him for the first time this weekend. And, you know, he's a little bit undersized, 5'10", 196. I watched the USC game from a couple weeks ago. And, you know, what really impressed me about Bryce Love is it's very similar to McCaffrey. He's got a really good feel for operating between the tackles. You know, his vision, his ability to set up blocks, he shows that patience, but then also that decisiveness downhill. Again, only one game that I've studied so far, so very early in my evaluation. But Bryce Love is a really good natural runner. He's got the quickness and the burst and the change of direction that you want. I really like his ability to make defenders miss. And that USC game, I think he forced 7 missed tackles by my count and just 17 touches. So nearly half of his touches, he's making somebody miss, and that's an alarming rate. I'm really, really intrigued by this kid. He's currently leading the nation in rushing right now. I'm really, really intrigued by this kid. But lack of size could be an issue. You know, he's 5'10", he's 196 pounds, he's not a power runner, so he's not going to be that guy that's going to be moving piles at the next level. He's a smart pass protector, but you're going to worry about his ability to hold up at the point of contact at the next level. So I am excited to be able to watch more. One thing I do worry about a little bit, I mentioned that size. most of his forced missed tackles this game that I watched against USC were him running through contact. And I'm not sure that's going to be the case in the league. So he's going to have to show a little bit more wiggle, a little bit more juice. I still think, though, this kid has shown a lot. One game into my evaluation, I'm really, really intrigued by him.
Anybody else over the weekend that, you know, either watching the TV copy or, you know, that you got a chance to study since last week that we should talk about?
Well, one guy that stood out on TV, I watched a little bit of the Arkansas-Texas A&M game, and Christian Kirk was an animal in this game. You know, we talked about him in the offseason as one of the most dynamic playmakers at the wide receiver position. You know, 5'11", 200 pounds, can impact the game on offense and on special teams. He did that this week in the overtime win for the Aggies. He scored two touchdowns receiving, got another one as a kick returner, and was really one of the catalysts for that win and potentially helping Kevin Sumlin stay there in College Station. Christian Kirk, I think, is a guy that can line up inside or outside at the next level. He reminds me a lot of a Brandon Cooks or a Jamison Crowder type player, a movement piece for an offense that can impact the game both in the screen game but then also vertically down the field. He's a better route runner than I think he's given credit for. I'm a fan of Christian Kirk. I think he transitions well into this league on the field, and you see his physical skill set. I think it really stands out, and obviously the return ability really helps as well. So he really stood out to me this week. And I've had a chance to study some players. And again, I'm trying to go chip away at these lists here, at some players that I knew I needed to get to. And you know, you look at the FBS level. I watched the cornerback MJ Stewart from North Carolina against Cal. I think MJ Stewart is probably one of the better seniors I've studied at the position. I'd probably argue that he's the number one senior I've studied at the position. 5'11", 205 pounds. I still don't think he's got an extremely high ceiling. I just love the football player. He's really competitive. He's smart. He's instinctive. He's tough. He doesn't have great athletic upside. He doesn't have great top-end speed. Those will be concerns. I'm sure he probably won't test well at the combine, but overall, I've liked what I've seen from the cornerback MJ Stewart. Colorado State wide receiver Michael Gallup is a guy that's gotten a little bit of love lately around the league in terms of, or I should say around the country in terms of the media, and one of the top seniors at the position. And I'm really struggling, Ross, to find some game-breaking wide receivers from this senior class. And I watched Michael Gallup. I actually watched him against Alabama. He's 6'1", 200 pounds. He looks the part. He's big. He's strong. He's got the ability to go up and play the football in the air. He's just not a refined player right now. He was a first-year starter last year. I believe he was first-team All-Mountain West last year, a junior college transfer. So it was his first year on campus. He's not a great route runner. He's not a great athlete for the position either. I would say he's probably below average by NFL standards. And I just wanted to see better effort than what I saw overall in that game against Alabama. They're on the road. They're playing against obviously the number one team in the country. I would have liked to see a little bit more from Colorado State receiver Michael Gallup in that game. But you see a big physical kid that can go up and win at the catch point. And then lastly, it was a small school kid that I've heard a lot of buzz about him, and I was excited to watch because I know some people that have graduated from Fordham. But having gone and watched him, I was pretty intrigued by Chase Edmonds from Fordham, who's been extremely productive over the course of his career. I think he's a two-time All-American coming into the year at the FCS level, undersized, 5'9", 205 pounds. He's from Harrisburg, PA, Ross, went to Central Dauphin East, and a four-year starter for the Rams up there in New York. Really quick kid. He's a competitive runner. He holds up pretty well in pass protection. He's a smart pass protector, and he can catch the ball pretty well out of the backfield. Again, kind of like what we talked about with Bryce Love, he's not going to be a big physical between the tackles runner. You're not going to be able to count on him, to me, as a primary ball carrier at the next level. But he reminds me a little bit of James White. Very similar dimensions coming out of Wisconsin, James White. And I think they've got pretty similar skill sets. So only one game into my evaluation of Chase Evans. I watched him against Army from earlier this year. But I'm intrigued by what I've seen from him. I think that he can turn into a really nice role player at the next level.
Yeah, he's. I mean, his parents' house is probably 5 minutes from my house.
Oh, nice.
I'm in Central Dauphin School District. He's CD East. I remember him lighting it up in high school. He was the MVP of the Big 33 game. I remember thinking, a guy is the MVP of the Big 33 game going to Fordham? And some schools came in on him late, but he was probably on $185. You know how that goes. But he is a very special player. I mean, he's had over 1,600 yards 3 years in a row. Including his true freshman year,
yeah.
And I would agree. He seems to me to be more of like a third down back type of players. You know, he's not as explosive as like a Tariq Cohen, but I can see people using it. Maybe like a poor man's McCaffrey is kind of how I would see him. Maybe not quite Christian McCaffrey, but a similar type of player. Speaking of playing, Fran, BetDSI is where it's at. They've been in business for over 20 years. You guys heard me talk about it. I tweeted it last week at Ross Tucker NFL. He's at FDuffy3 about the code college25. You get a $25 free wager just for registering when you use the code college25 at betdsi.com. Plus, if you decide to deposit, you get a 200% bonus match on your money. So you get $25 for free, and then if you put 100 in, they'll put 200 in. Are you kidding me? This is like an incredible deal to get started if you want to bet on some college games or NFL games or whatever. Just go to betdsi.com and use the code college25.
Head to head.
All right, head to head, Fran. It seems like the second week in a row where there's maybe not great matchups. Is that fair to say? I mean, I feel like, I think Clemson and Virginia Tech is interesting, but it seems like the second week in a row where there's not like, there was that one week a couple weeks ago where there was like six good games on all at the same time. Meanwhile, this past Saturday, the Penn State-Iowa game ended up being awesome, but still wasn't necessarily like a big-time marquee matchup of top 25 teams. And it doesn't seem like we have that many of those this weekend either. What do you got?
Well, to me, I think the biggest matchup is Alabama-Ole Miss. But I do agree with you that, and for a number of different reasons, I think some of these matchups over the last couple of weeks, whether it's games getting suspended and pushed because of weather, whether it's because of some injuries and some suspensions during the course of the season. You know, Florida has lost a bunch of guys. Virginia Tech, who we're going to talk about later in the show, has lost some players, and that's kind of hurt some of these matchups. But overall, I would say that this game between Alabama and Ole Miss is probably the marquee matchup from an NFL draft perspective when you look up and down these two teams' rosters. And, you know, we'll start with when Alabama has the football. It starts with the run game. You know, Damian Harris is a guy that I've always been a big fan of. 12 carries for 150 yards and three scores last week in that 59-0 drubbing of Vanderbilt in the national CBS game. And Damian Harris, to me, has a really good feel for operating between the tackles. I really like his vision. He's a well-rounded player. He's a smooth athlete. He's not explosive. He's not overly twitchy, but just a smooth, natural player. Very well-rounded. Like I said, can play special teams, can block, can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think Damian Harris, and rightfully so, he's been the starter for the last 2 years. I think Harris projects really well to the league. And then Bo Scarborough as well, very talented player. He went for just about 80 yards and two scores last week as well. He's probably more explosive than Harris. He's more big and physically imposing compared to Harris. But I think when you look at the two players, I like Harris a little bit more. Not that I don't like Scarborough, but I like Harris a little bit more. But you've got both those guys in that backfield along with some really, really talented underclassmen. And that's going to be a challenge for any defense. And especially when you look at this Ole Miss team, they've got a senior at the linebacking core that when I do get a chance to study DeMarquise Gates, he's 6'2". He's a little bit light at 217, had 14 tackles when this team last played 2 weeks ago against Cal. But when you watch DeMarquise Gates, that this is going to be a big game for his evaluation, is how is he going to operate against Alabama, this offensive line, and this run game. And that's going to be a big matchup when you watch this game. And you talk about that Alabama offensive line. I've gone back and studied them from last year. I've studied them a little bit this year. You know, Lester Cotton, Bradley Bozeman, Ross Piercebacher, Jonah Williams at left tackle, I think, has the ability to be a first-round pick, not this year, but next year when he is eligible. It is a really, really good group, and I'm really excited about them moving forward. But then you look at this Ole Miss defensive line, and they're a team that can give teams fits because they've got some talent. You know, Breland Speaks, who isn't really talked about all that much, but I think he is really, really intriguing. At 6'3", 285 pounds, I think he projects really well as a penetrating three technique. He's a really good athlete for the position. His first step, his burst up the field, he lines up all over the field defensively for this Rebels team. Not a power rusher. He's not a polished pass rusher yet either right now, but with his first step quickness, he can give that interior three some trouble for Alabama. So keep an eye out for Breland Speaks. And then off the edge, the guy to watch, and I'm pretty sure he had at least a sack, maybe even two, when these two teams played last year, and that's Marquise Haynes, who's gotten progressively bigger and stronger over the course of his career there at Ole Miss. He can win with a first step. He's 6'3". He's only listed at 230 right now, but I think at times he's able to play bigger because he's able to go speed to power. I like his bend. I like his flexibility. He can win off the ball with that first step. I'd like to see him continue to get stronger, like I mentioned, and if he can just continue to get better as a pass rusher using his hands, because he's got the physical traits to do it, but I'd like to see him continue to vary that rush. He's a high motor kid, likes to make plays in pursuit. He's really fun to watch, a little bit older. He's going to be a 24-year-old rookie next year, but Marquise Haynes is really, really intriguing. Seeing him match up against these Alabama tackles, I think, will be a lot of fun to watch. So there's some matchups there in the trenches. And then on the outside, you know, Calvin Ridley, 2 weeks ago against Colorado State, that game I watched, 3 for 92 and a touchdown. He goes 78 yards for his one score. He's one of the most dynamic receivers in the country. To me, right now, he is the number one receiver in the country. I think he's my number one receiver at this point as we sit here now. And it's an underclassman secondary there for Ole Miss. You know, they've got the junior safety, C.J. Moore, who leads the team in interceptions, and then two sophomores at corner, Miles Hartsfield and Jalen Julius. This could be a statement game for those two guys if they're able to hold Calvin Ridley and this Alabama receiving core to, you know, keep them out of the end zone. So it will be a big game for this defense going up against Alabama's offense. A lot of matchups to watch.
What about when Ole Miss has the ball on the other side?
Yeah, they're a passing team. You know, they're led by Shea Patterson, who's spreading the football around. And it's an underclass. It's a young receiving core. You know, you look at the sophomore, A.J. Brown. They got that junior, DeMarcus Lodge. The other freshman, D.K. Metcalf, who I've heard a lot of really good things about. He's 6'4", 225 pounds. Van Jefferson was all freshman SEC last year. He's now a sophomore. He's 6'2". All four of those guys have at least 15 catches. Brown and Lodge each have 4 touchdowns. Those two and Metcalf all have big plays of 70-plus yards on their resume. So Patterson likes to spread the ball around. A lot of targets in this passing game going up against an Alabama secondary that obviously has a ton of talent, led by Minka Fitzpatrick, who lines up all over the defense. He can play safety. He can play nickel. He can play corner. He's done it all for Nick Saban, and he's done it all really since his true freshman season, which – you know Nick Saban. You know how obsessed he is with secondary play. He's a former defensive backs coach. To be able to come in and play for a perfectionist like Nick Saban as a true freshman, I think speaks a lot to Minka Fitzpatrick, the kind of player he is, the kind of person he is, and how he prepares. I'm really excited about Minka Fitzpatrick moving forward, if you can't tell. I'm a big, big fan of his game. I think whether he's a corner, whether he's a safety, he's going to be at the top of my rankings when we get to the NFL draft. So Minka Fitzpatrick, you've got the other senior, Anthony Averett, who, to me, you know, Anthony Averett, I think that he's gotten a lot of love this offseason, or this season, and going into this season. A lot of people weren't necessarily familiar with him, even though he was the other starter for that Alabama secondary at the right corner spot. And I do like him. I do think he's got the ability to develop into a starter. I just think he's not quite there yet. You know, I watch him, and I want to see top. I don't think he's got great top-end athleticism, so he's already kind of working from behind there. And I didn't think his instincts in man coverage were as good as, say, Minka Fitzpatrick. So watching Anthony Averett, Tony Brown, obviously a very gifted player, Ronnie Harrison at safety, they've got a lot of players in that secondary. So watching that Ole Miss passing game against that secondary for Alabama, to me, is the big matchup on that side of the ball. Ole Miss doesn't run the ball. Jordan Wilkins is their leading rusher. He's got 103 yards on the year. So going up against this Alabama front with De'Ron Payne and Deshaun Hand and Sean Dion Hamilton and company, that's going to be a tough task for a team that's really struggled to run the ball so far this year.
All right, so let's get to some of the other games of note. We got Michigan State, Iowa. I know you're not a huge fan, but, man, Josie Jewell made a lot of plays Saturday night against Penn State.
Yeah, his stat line was ridiculous. And don't get me wrong, I think Josie Jewell can be a solid starter. Like, I do think that he can be a player, and I think he's got the skill set to be able to be a three-down player. I just don't know that he's necessarily like an ideal three-down player. And I think that that'll be one of the issues for him at the next level. But, yeah, his stat line this week against Penn State was ridiculous. He led the game in tackles. He had 16 stops, 3 behind the line of scrimmage. He forced a fumble. He picked off a pass. He got a pass breakup. He was all over the field for Penn State, or for Iowa, in that game in primetime against Penn State. Now they've got another test this week. Michigan State running back L.J. Scott, the numbers have not been great for him. They've really struggled to throw the football, and so they've become a little bit more one-dimensional. The team has really struggled so far, really, over the last year and a half. And L.J. Scott, he went for 5.5 yards a carry, 61 yards last week against Notre Dame in a tough loss. But LJ Scott is a big physical ball carrier. This is more in the wheelhouse of where Josie Jewell, to me, can kind of stand out. Barkley, obviously, is a different animal. LJ Scott, a between-the-tackles runner, I think he's got pretty good vision inside. I think this is going to be a really interesting matchup between those two players. I mentioned that Clemson team. They're going up against Virginia Tech. And, you know, Virginia Tech, look, Greg Stroman and Brandon Faison are two senior corners. I mentioned MJ Stewart, the UNC corner, as my number one guy. Greg Stroman's probably right there with him, and a lot of the same reasons why. He's the instinctive player. He's really tough. He's good in zone coverage. He's not a great athlete. He's not an explosive kid in terms of his makeup speed, his recovery speed. So that will be a question for him. But to me, he's the best football player in that Virginia Tech secondary. They're hoping to get back Adonis Alexander. He's been suspended for the last 2 weeks for a violation of team rules. Justin Fuente, the head coach there for Virginia Tech, has said that it's up in the air whether or not they're going to make the decision of whether or not he's going to come back for this game. Something tells me going up against Clemson, they're going to find a way to get Adonis Alexander on the football field. Not as polished a player right now as Greg Stroman, but I think he's the most physically gifted player in that Virginia Tech secondary because you're talking about a big kid who can run. And then you're going to need that against this Clemson receiving core. A ton of players there. Deion Kane, Hunter Renfrow, Ray McLeod, a lot of talented players in that Clemson receiving core.
Somebody didn't like that comment in Blacksburg about you feeling like they're going to find a way to get Alexander on the field. You started to have some buzzing there while you were talking, Fran. Last one, it's the all-important Ohio State-Rutgers game. I know you love this guy for Rutgers, so just talk about him.
Yeah, it's the edge guy, Kamoko Ture, and the pass rush class. I'm excited to see some of these players, and Ture is one of them, a guy who's really kind of transformed his body over the course of his career. He's up to 250-plus pounds. He's got the ability to bend. He's got a really quick first step. He doesn't have a sack yet this year from what I've seen. So going up against this Ohio State offensive line, which has had some trouble, JT Barrett, the quarterback, has had some issues taking some sacks this year. And Jamarco Jones is the number one prospect at tackle for this team. I really like Billy Price on the inside. But Jamarco Jones, the senior tackle on the left side, I think that's the matchup to watch. It'll be one of the best pass rushers Jones has faced all year.
I love it, Fran. That'll do it. You're getting buzzed again. I don't know. There's some people that aren't liking some of the things you're saying. I love everything you have to say each and every week here on the College Draft Podcast. Can't possibly encourage people enough to go ahead and check out Fran on Twitter at FDuffy3 or his Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast every week, as well as the Saturday Scouting article. I love it. Saturday Scouting article. He almost always has a mention of the College Draft podcast with Ross Tucker in it. I like it. I look for it. It's important to me. He lists it. It's great. Next week, obviously, we'll let you know what happened in these games, as well as we'll get into week 6 of college football. Bunch of other podcasts you can check out, Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and, of course, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Plus, if you're into the draft stuff, you might be into the business stuff with Andrew Brandt's Business of Sports Podcast. Other than that, the keg is kicked, and we are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Podcast One Sports presents Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, you can hear Jack Harbaugh.
We're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Jim Harbaugh.
What the hell's going on around here?
And JT Rogan share their stories from on and off the field. Past guests include John Harbaugh, ESPN's Adam Schefter, and Pardon My Takes, PFT, and Big Cat. So don't miss an episode of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, exclusively on PodcastOne.com and the new Podcast One app. Just a sample of what's coming to Podcast One Sports.